Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome you to the Tuesday edition of SJS on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Our number 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. Brought to you today by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Kratzer Insurance. Well, a lot going on in sports. We'll have Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, will be joining us and at the bottom of the hour at 3:35 to talk about Big Ten Media Day and also about some of the issues that Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney brought up last week. A stipend for players, possibly $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 going to full scholarship players, which means, for example, if you're on a partial scholarship, you wouldn't get the money. If you're a walk-on, you wouldn't get the money. So there are some interesting things in that proposal, and it also has to be Title IX compliant. It's the law. Ben and I will talk about that. And also some of the other proposals that he floated last week as well, as he talked about student-athletes that didn't get their degree coming back and still being on scholarship 10 years later to finish that degree, that they're not abandoning the student-athlete in that regard. We'll get his opinion about that. So there's certain things that he talked about, and the O'Bannon case, of course, above all, which is the biggest threat that I think intercollegiate athletics has faced in a long time, because the O'Bannon case, which probably will go all the way to the Supreme Court, it's going to take years to litigate. We'll talk about that with Ben as well. Penn State football practice will get underway next week. First few days will be without pads, and then they'll go in pads after that to get ready for the upcoming season, with the opener just 4.5 weeks away with Syracuse at MetLife Stadium. Jack Cam, Lauren Crispell, and I will be on hand for that here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. That day will be a 2 o'clock airtime and a 3:30 kickoff for that one on August 31st. So it's getting to that time of the year. And high school football is going to be gearing up, and they're going to be starting 2 weeks from Friday as well with their practices, gearing up for their openers on Friday night, August 30th. So there's plenty to talk about, and we'll get to Ben Jones at the bottom of the hour. But first, above the noise, here is Dan Patrick.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. So let the sizzling summer sales event get you fired up. Like a 2005 Lexus ES330 sedan. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. Ford Fusion 5-door SE, just $12,995. 2011 Ford Fusion 4-door sedan, front-wheel drive, $14,997. 2010 Honda Odyssey EXL, perfect minivan for traveling, $24,643. 2011 Jeep Wrangler 2-door Rubicon, $24,997. And a 2012 Ford F-150 Super Crew, $145. Call for a price, 888-536-8017. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout, 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Our good friends at Kratzer Insurance, taking care of our business today. Kratzer Insurance, homeowners, auto, life, business insurance. If service and price are important to you, your ticket's waiting for you at Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. Sir, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Boy, the Phillies tied themselves into a knot with their contracts. My goodness. All right, now, Jimmy Rollins is a 5-10 guy. Okay, 10 years in the major leagues, 5 with the same club. He can veto any deal. Who put a clause in Michael Young's contract that he can accept deals and he'll only go to the Texas Rangers? Well, that one's out. Cliff Lee, they're asking a lot for him. They should ask a lot for him. Papelbon, you lose 5 miles per hour off your fastball, you'd be amazed how nobody runs to you. Then there's Ruiz. Possibility. But they are tied up on contracts right now. They have to do... I think they're at a stage where after watching this for 2 years, they may have to do what the Red Sox did. Last year, the Red Sox said, the heck with this, and they got rid of Adrian Gonzalez. They got rid of Carl Crawford, and they got rid of Josh Beckett. They got rid of $250 million in salary. $250 million. That's with a B. And I think the Phillies have to do the same thing. They have taken this thing World Series winner, World Series appearance, LCS appearance, LDS appearance, miss, and now miss. They have steadily gone down each step of the ladder since 2008. So now you have to sit back and say, okay, you know, what do we have here? You have Cole Hamels, still got Lee. Utley's really good, but I mean, you have to ask yourself, can we keep these guys and then build around them in the offseason? Or do we need to start over in some spots? 800-795-9565. That is 800-795-9565. So that's the number to call to get involved. Love to hear from you as well. Replay needs to be a part of the mix. And baseball has to start catching up to everybody else. And I do not. If you're going to call and tell me that the human element is important, well, then we're going to have a pretty good conversation, because I would like to ask you on the replay, who looks at it? Oh, a human. The human element is present in replay because a human has to look at it and evaluate it. They just have technology. Look at our business as an example. Look how our business has changed. When I first started, now Sarah's much younger, so she has no idea what I'm talking about here. We had reel-to-reel tapes, and I had to take a knife and a little block, do a 45-degree cut on the block, find the part where I wanted to take out, take another 45-degree cut, then take splicing tape and put it together. That's how I edited. Then cassette tapes became very big. And you use what were called carts to record on that looked like glorified 8-track tapes. We then went to mini disc. And now everything's done on a computer. When you hear music playing on a radio now, it is being played from a computer. It used to be on a 45. It used to be on a 78. Then it was on a cart. Then on a CD. Now it's played off the computer. That's technology. When you go out now, do you use a Walkman when you go out, or do you have an MP3 player? Technology has changed for all of us. I used to do every one of my charts by hand. I had 2 5x8 cards for basketball, one for each team.
And for football, I had a legal-sized piece of paper, which I put my own rectangles on and filled it out by hand. Now, I do everything on a laptop. I have my own charts, my own system, and so forth, but I have charts and charts and charts all done on my laptop, which include graphics, if need be, and so forth. That's technology. And for those who love the game, and I love the game of baseball, technology has to be a part of what's going on. The Nava play. Now, let's talk about the Nava play in Boston last night. First of all, let's concede that Nava, on the double to center field, misjudges it. And he should have scored on that play. That said, when it comes to the play at the plate, the umpire's out of position. He makes the wrong call. He concedes he made the wrong call. There's your human element. Each manager, I mean, the two best replay systems are the NHL and college football. The NHL has a centralized system in Toronto. Every goal is reviewed in Toronto. It's all centralized. So when you're watching a game between the Flyers and the Florida Panthers, okay, Claude Giroux scores, you think he scored, they're going to take a look at it. Referee gets on the phone, gets the word, it's a goal, points, it's a goal. That call came from Toronto. It's centralized. That's where they look at it. College football, because of the number of games, has put people in the replay booth. Can't centralize college football. There's too many games being played. So they put it in a replay booth. And every play is looked at. 9 out of 10, they do a great job, and it's right on the mark. Football has challenges. I think that baseball should have the challenge system. And I don't care if they put an umpire with a technician up above looking at all this. That's fine. Or if they centralize it in New York or New Jersey. But because of the speed of the game, give the managers two challenges each. I can almost guarantee you that each manager will probably save one of those challenges for late. They don't want to go into the eighth or ninth inning and not have one. Instead of having John Farrell come out and argue, even though he was right, and waste the time arguing, even though he was right, he should just come out and have the ability, look, I want to challenge it. Boom, go upstairs, have him look at it. Wow, Nava beat it. Game tied at 2. Now, this doesn't mean the Red Sox would have won last night's game. That run would have tied the game up. They also had another runner in scoring position. Now, Tampa Bay could have worked out of it. They have a great pitching staff. And Tampa Bay's still going to win it. But the goal is to get it right. And baseball needs to start getting, I mean, they've been able to get some things right, but they need to start getting things right. And this is a step in that direction. Every game's on TV. And that's why I laugh when I hear people say, well, the human element, it's tradition. Well, if it's tradition, you should still be playing 45s and not listening to your MP3 player. All right, news coming up, bottom of the hour. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Homeowners, auto, life, business insurance, they have it all. And if service and price are important to you, Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
A lot to talk about today. Trading deadline is coming up. A lot of talk about the Pirates and Alex Rios. It's heated up again after being put in the back burner. We're going to have Rob Beer Temple on from the Pirates beat a little bit later in the week to talk about that. Mel Proctor. One of the great broadcasters ever. I would think, sir, at some point in your life, you heard Mel Proctor call games between the Orioles and the Washington Wizards.
I would think so.
One of the greats. Well, guess what? He made one of the great calls in the history of broadcasting. He's the one who was announcing on radio the night Penn State won the Fiesta Bowl. He has the Giftopoulos interception. All right? So... yeah, and we will play that back. But Mel's written a book. I love the work, but I hate the business. Mel will be on later in the week. Steve Samsel later in the week. Big Penn State basketball announcement tomorrow. I think it's going to excite the fans. We'll have that for you as well. A little bit earlier today, I had a chance to talk to Jason Dombach. He's the general manager of the State College Spikes. We're talking about minor league baseball. And I said, I think I'm traveling around. Basically, a lot of people don't realize what a gem of a ballpark they have in central Pennsylvania.
They were sitting where you were sitting last night, right?
If they were sitting where I was sitting last night,
in Batavia, New York.
If they'd have driven faster to get back here than I did. And I say that with all due respect. It's just a minor league ballpark.
Oh, there are a lot of our players on the team this year who played for Batavia last year. And one of the questions that was asked around the beginning of the season was, well, what were some of the highlights of playing in Batavia, and pretty much all of them said the road trips.
Yeah, right. And it's nothing. It's a beautiful town. I mean, they've redone the stadium. 1996, they redid it. Used for high school football. Genesee Community College uses it. That's fine, but when you come here, it's a totally different experience.
This is modern minor league baseball right here. Yeah. You've got all the amenities. You've got a beautiful view, great playing surface, great clubhouse. Very fortunate what we have right here in our own backyard.
Yeah, 9,400-plus went through the turnstiles for the two-game Auburn series. One of the promotions, obviously, was Mountain Man, who came in from Duck Dynasty.
Yeah.
Was that a night where between ball club, staff, promotion, a lot of things in a minor league realm came together?
Everything was kind of the perfect confluence, I've been calling it. You know, right. Everything converged together. Everything came together. You had the perfect weather, a great promotion that when we announced that Duck Dynasty night that Mountain Man was coming back in, I think it was February or March, we immediately had a lot of interest, and we knew we were going to have a lot of ticket sales for that game. But as the season went on and you knew the weather was going to be good, team's been playing better, certainly at home. I think everything just kind of came together, and we had our largest crowd since 2011. So that was a classic minor league baseball night there. I mean, you had the weather, you had it being on a Friday night, you had a great promotion and appearance that had everybody talking and everybody excited. And not only that, but anybody that was at the ballpark, particularly on Friday night, I don't know how they don't come back. Yeah. Because you had a great game, you had great weather, and everybody who came for Mountain Man, you included, I know you're a convert now, smiley face, everybody had to come back. I mean, the guy signed autographs till 12:15 in the morning. I mean, the game was over for 2.5 hours, and he was still signing autographs. It was one of the most incredible things that I have ever seen. But, you know, it illustrates, again, what we do here. It's not just about baseball. There's many different reasons why fans come to the ballpark, and Friday night was a good convergence, confluence of all of those things coming together.
Also, the Bark in the Park night has been a major success as well. they had, Batavia had theirs on Sunday evening. And I thought both the dogs were cute. I mean, it was, but there were 496 of them here when you did the promotion. It's amazing how that has caught on and stuck.
Well, you know, our philosophy is you always want to try and give folks an experience here at our ballpark, at a Spikes game, that they can't get anywhere else. And being a dog owner myself, as you are, you know, there aren't many places that you can take your dogs and go to a public place and enjoy something that otherwise you wouldn't be able to take them to. And that's why I think our Bark in the Park nights have been so successful. We've already had one this year. We'll have another one coming up on August the 15th. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, I wish we could come up with 38 of those. You know, right. I wish there were 38 Mountain Man nights and 38 Bark in the Parks. It's tough to find that. But when you have that special convergence of something that's special that gives fans an experience they can't normally get and a ball game, it all comes together nicely.
And that was going to dovetail into my next question. It's almost like I'm leading you in a line of questioning here. But, you know, when you go to these conventions and talk to everybody, everybody is looking for that perfect convergence. It's not easy to find that. So when you do get it, you really latch onto it.
You get ideas from other clubs, and there are 160 minor league baseball markets across the United States and Canada. But no two are the same. I mean, there are ideas that work pretty much everywhere, but to varying degrees. So Bark in the Park night works as well here in State College as it does anywhere. In fact, I would say that, you know, talking to a lot of my colleagues, a lot of teams do it, but I don't know that they're as successful at it as we are here. I mean, how many ballparks have a grass area where the dogs can go to the bathroom inside the ballpark,
inside the confines of the fence,
that don't want to see that kind of thing don't see,
right.
And a big concourse and all the promotional activities that we have with it. So, you know, there are certainly a ton of great ideas, but each market is different. You know, the southern markets, they're able to do faith nights and pack the ballpark.
Sure.
Those kind of things don't work as well in the north for whatever reason, not that – we don't have religion in this part of the country.
I'll give you an example. Kirk Cameron was here, and he essentially had one of those evenings here, and it was okay in terms of attendance. But, and not only that, you had Kirk Cameron doing it, and it still was okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, there are a lot of great ideas out there, but each market is different. And we found the things here in State College that work, and we're always trying to find a few more. But it's tough, you know, and the way I always equate it and tell people is, you know, think about, have you had a son or a daughter? I know you have one this weekend where you have a son or daughter that's getting married. Mm-hmm. And you think about all of the planning that goes into that, right?
Yeah.
Well, we basically do 38 of those a summer. Yeah. And this week we'll do 6 in a row. We've been planning tonight, tomorrow, and every day throughout this homestand for months and months and months. So, you know, it's tough to find one every single night that's going to have the interest that a Bark in the Park or a Mountain Man does. But, you know, that's the challenge, and that's what we try and do.
Now, this one has a T-shirt Tuesday, so 500 come out tonight and they get T-shirts. But then tomorrow you have Matt Adams Bobblehead Nights, part of a series.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he's with the Cardinals, and from Phillipsburg, Osceola makes it even more intriguing. It's also a half-price Wednesday, so you always have the daily values. DQ, Grill and Chill, Kids Eat and Play Free Thursday, and then that's also going to be followed up because you're doing another series of uniform giveaways, so it's stirrups this time.
Mm-hmm.
Friday's fireworks. Paint the Park Pink Night, very special, coming up on Saturday, and fireworks on Sunday.
Well, there's something, I mean, you just went through it. I mean, I don't know, do I need to add on to that? I mean, you just nailed it all right there, Steve. I mean, you laid out the homestand perfectly.
Yeah.
Something different every single night. And, you know, as you notice there, you've got giveaways, you've got fireworks, you've got what we call kind of the community caring nights. That's where you get your Paint the Park Pink night on Saturday, which is always a very successful evening. You've got your value promotions. You got your great weather, which is probably the best promotion of all that you can have. So, a little bit of everything coming up on this homestand. And, you know, this finishes up a stretch. This homestand finishes up a stretch of 14 games in 19 days at home. And then, you know, we're away for 10 days. And I don't remember there being a break in the schedule like this before. We got an all-star break and a road trip in there. So, you know, if you don't come out this weekend, you're going to have to wait quite a while.
There's also a different component because right now the club may be 5 games out of first in the division, but they're 1 game out of the wild card race right now after last night's win that's a component you haven't had. There has not been the component, come on out there pushing for the playoffs in 8 years.
And, you know, you see this team every night, too, and I get the sense that we're just going to get even better. I mean, the record does not necessarily match the potential that this team has on the field. You look at the lineup, the pitching staff, you know, number one ERA in the league most of the year, one of the top hitting clubs in the league most of the year, and you've got guys who probably have the talent right now to step into a higher level in the Cardinals organization, but they're here playing as a team together, and the lineup for the most part has not changed a whole lot throughout the year. So you get the sense that as other teams in the league promote players, this team's going to stay together for the most part. I mean, that's my feeling, and they're only going to get better down the stretch. So to be 20-18, that's great, and to be a game out of the wild card, that's great. But I know that Ollie and the group downstairs, they have high expectations for this club, and I think this team's going to get even better as the second half of the season rolls on.
Yeah, they're not only a game out of the wild card, but one of those comeback wins over Lowell's huge because they took 2 out of 3 in that series. That's a tiebreaker, right?
That's right. They're the wild card leader right now. And, you know, even the division race, even though Jamestown, ironically, the Pirates, they have a 5-game lead in the division.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the schedule, remember that 6 of the final 8 games of the season will be between State College and Jamestown.
Right.
That's going to be a lot of fun to watch as well. So don't count the Spikes out of the division race either. But to have the opportunity to chase a playoff spot is something we have not been able to enjoy before.
What is the difference between marketing double A and marketing single A?
Well, I don't think that you know, anybody in minor league baseball wants to get too enamored with marketing the on-field product. You just never know what you're going to have. But at the double A level, at least you know that every once in a while, you're going to see a Bryce Harper come through, or a Steven Strasburg, or a Ryan Howard, or Joe Mauer. They're, by the time that the on-field product and the players get to the double-A level, you start to have an understanding of who the top-flight prospects are. Mm-hmm. And so you can do a little more of that at the double-A level than you can do at our level. Because even though you have first-round picks or you have high draft picks and guys that are certainly going to play in the major leagues, you just don't have that component. You know, the other thing you get a lot at the double-A level, you get a lot of major league rehab assignments. Right. When I was in Altoona, I mean, we had a number of them. I went on the road, and you saw major league players up and down organizations rehabbing, and double-A is certainly a level where everybody who's rehabbing an injury that has a name is going to stop at, double-A or triple-A. So you have that component. So I think there's more of the ability to market the on-field product at the double-A level than we have here, because when it comes down to individual players, by the time they're able to make a name for themselves, they're gone to the next level. So that said, though, Steve, it's still not a big component of a double-A team's marketing plan.
Does it eventually come down to that the Curve are Altoona's team, that the Spikes are State College's team? Does it still come down to embrace it, it's your team?
You know, I think certainly the bread and butter of both of our markets are the names that we have on our jerseys, Altoona, State College. But I think a big part of the success for both franchises has been the regionalism. You know, I remember when we were in Altoona initially, before the Spikes were here, we kind of took a map and drew a 2-hour radius around Altoona. And that was our market. And we went after it, and that's how we got to the point where an average of 6,000 people came to the ballpark in Altoona back in 2004.
Right.
You know, regionalism is what you have to do. You have to go out. Group sales is the key to growing attendance in minor league baseball. And there's only so many groups in Altoona. There's only so many groups in State College. And so you have to be able to go out into Huntington, Lewistown. If you're at the Altoona Curve, you go to Indiana, Westmoreland counties. You know, and there certainly are some overlap areas that maybe we pull from each other. But, you know, again, at the end of the day, it's how you regionalize from a group sales standpoint. And then on the single game walk-up numbers, I think we rely a lot on our own backyards, which aren't large markets either. Let's be honest with it. And I think both franchises have done a remarkable job in putting up the attendance figures that they have.
What do you know now that early on, whether it was in Altoona or here, you wish you knew?
Man, there's a million things probably. That's a really good question. I think you can never understand your market enough. Yeah. You know, you can never know your own fans enough. You know, we talk, I mean, I could talk about sales strategies all day. That's probably going to bore everybody on the radio. But when you're out selling 12 months a year, it's tough. It really is. And you have to kind of creatively figure out ways to get the same people to come back year after year after year. So that's a tough question. I think most of the things that I've learned have probably been more the back of the house sales. Yeah. Sales strategies that probably would bore a sports audience, to be honest, yeah. But there's a lot of them that you learn over the years.
What are the importance of the little things? For example, speck of papers on the ground is picked up right away. I mean, the importance of the little things for the experience so that the fan doesn't realize it, but when they leave, they feel good about it because everything was right.
Well, that's a good point. You know, it's amazing how a clean ballpark or a clean facility can go a long way in getting people to come back. You know, if from having kids and taking them places, you know, you just want it to be safe and clean.
Yeah.
And I feel like we provide that here. And I think most minor league baseball franchises, including the ones in our region, Altoona, Harrisburg, ourselves, Williamsport, you know, I think we all understand that. You want to provide a safe, clean environment. And one thing I'm really proud of here at this ballpark, and you've mentioned it a number of times, is we sit here and look out over the ballpark right now. You would never know this is an 8-year-old facility.
That's right.
It looks like it's brand new. And the way that it's upkept and the way it's cleaned and the resources and the money and the time that goes into that, I mean, people would be astonished to see how much it costs to clean a ballpark and keep it clean. But you know what? That's okay. Because that's an important part of the experience, and that could easily turn people off from not wanting to come back. So we invest in that, and we make sure that's an important part of the experience.
And that's why I tell people all the time, as an example, the maintenance on Beaver Stadium is $2 million a year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people don't realize what it takes to do something like that. And there are certain places in my career that I've gone to. I'll give you an example, the Marriott Center in Provo. You'd never know that place is 30 to 40 years old. It looks like they built it 2 years ago. That's how I feel about this place. It looks still brand new.
And, you know, that's why when and fortunately, you know, we have never really raised the prices here at Medley Field at the Pro-Auto Park. The same single game prices since day one for the most part. So a couple category exclusive exceptions, but for the most part, the bleacher seats have always been $6. The bullpen box seats, the ones that are down the left field line have always been $8. So, you know, for the most part, we've been able to keep it that way. But it's very difficult because if you look at your hard costs, your expenses to run a facility like this, or like you mentioned, Beaver Stadium, the Bryce Jordan Center, PNG Field in Altoona, these are expensive facilities to run. And our costs rise. You know, our vendors charge us more. You try not to pass that along to the fans. It's very difficult sometimes, and we've made the decision here, you know what, we'll eat into that margin a little bit because we want to keep this a fun, affordable, you know, an affordable underline. You want this to be as affordable as possible. It's a challenge, and so sometimes when organizations raise prices or they try something different, it's not to just try and gouge the fans. It's because legitimately, you know, the costs have become so much to try and provide the great giveaway items, to keep food affordable, to keep prices on tickets where they're at. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, back of the house stuff that I think the average sports fan does not realize, and they just look at, well, you know, they're charging me $2 or $5 or $10 more a ticket. You know, that's terrible. Well, there's usually a good reason for it beyond just trying to gouge extra money out of people.
Putnam Jaguar is kind of a disturbing thing, but that's fine. I think that's a personal item.
And as you've noticed, we've had to keep the food quality at a certain level here in the press box over the years as well.
Absolutely.
Much to your dismay.
Absolutely. It's been a little macaroni and tuna thing that was great. All right. JD, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for being here, Steve. Hey.
Jason Dombach, he's the general manager of the State College Spikes. We'll look into minor league baseball. We'll look at the majors tomorrow with Rob Beertemple. We have Steve Samsel on the media later in the week. Mel Proctor on his latest book coming up later in the week as well. A big Penn State basketball announcement coming up tomorrow. So we have a lot going on in the show. Whether Kevin's here or not, we roll on. And lately, more often than not, I'm just kidding, as we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Shopping for insurance to save money is not an easy thing. What if I told you there's good news for Pennsylvania residents searching to save money on homeowners, auto insurance, RVs, motorcycles, and more? What if I told you you didn't have to sacrifice local personal service? Then call or visit online the Kratzer Insurance Agency in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, serving the area now for 50 years.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. We are proud to offer Safeco Insurance at a very competitive rate. Some customers have saved as much as 50% off their premium.
Safeco has been around since 1923 and in 2008 became part of the Liberty Mutual Insurance, a name well known and trusted in the insurance industry. Start saving and be safe with Safeco and Kratzer Insurance.
Standing together against whatever. Family Friendship Security, the Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Little Phil Collins. How about that?
We just like to have fun, you know?
Of course we do. I mean, Captain Grumpy's out. You know he's listening somewhere, don't you?
You know, we should show a small bit of love. It is his birthday.
Today's his birthday?
Yes.
Really?
He tried to hide it, but Facebook tells me otherwise.
Was he 57, 58?
I don't want to speculate.
No, I'll go with 57 or 58. Just based on look. No?
Couldn't tell you.
It's his birthday today. All right, hold on a second here. So what we need to do here is a little on-air text moment. All right.
Live texting.
Starts with a K, right? First of all, I never text him anyway, so this will freak him out. Happy birthday from Sarah. Be on my text. Happy birthday from Sarah. Hey, it's an entertainment show. Come on. Next hour, I want to talk a lot about replay in baseball and about the trade deadline coming up as well. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, homeowners, auto, life, business. Price is important to you. Service, they're the ones.